You look like a British banker in Hawaii.
Adam Curry, John C. Dvorak.
Ah, it's August 2nd, 2009. It's time for your Gitmo Nation audio publication, episode 118.
This is No Agenda.
Coming to you from the Minimum Containment Center, or should I say cell, better known as the Crackpot Command Center. Oh man, I'm slow today. Hey, from Gitmo Nation West in San Francisco, the undisclosed loft location under eminent domain destruction, I'm Adam Curry.
Slow and long-winded, I'm John C. Dvorak.
It's Crackpot and Buzzkill
in the morning.
The reason why, John, is I still don't have my MIDI controller working.
Oh.
So I'm like switching back and
forth.
Did
you order another one, or are you just going to gripe about it?
No, I ordered another one and it has to come from Germany.
Ach der Lieber.
Although I had an idea, there's this, Apple has some kind of thing with a single fader you can switch back and forth.
No, get what you used.
Okay.
I will. Tell them to expedite the order.
What is expedite in German?
Schnell machen.
Mach schnell.
Mach schnell.
Yeah, I hooked it up again today just to see if it would work all of a sudden. You know, sometimes that does happen.
That's reasonable to think that way with this gear.
Yeah. Well, because
it's true.
With any gear, essentially. Hey, John, dude, we did your Sunday trip. Dude, yeah. We did your Sunday trip yesterday on Saturday, and we checked off a number of items off of the list of things to do when you live in the Bay Area.
Right.
And let me tell you something very interesting. You sent us a note with a link to Mount Tam, which is one of the places you have to go if you're in this area, right?
Yeah.
So I click on the Google link. It shows me the spot on the map. And then, of course, I say, you know, get directions. And we follow the directions exactly, John. Let me tell you, Google has a very interesting way of trying to send you to Mount Tam. And it does not
work. I don't trust Google at all.
And it does not work. So when you're driving north on 101, there's actually a sign that says, get off here to go to Mount Tam, right? And our instruction said, no, go up another two exits and then get off there. And so we wound up going through, was it Mill Valley? Is that it?
Yeah. Did you go through the tunnel at all?
On 101?
No. Well,
Yeah, we went through that tunnel. And so
the little one.
I'm not sure which tunnel you mean.
Okay, never mind. Keep talking.
No, so I don't think so. And so what happens is you wind up going around the back route trying to get up to Mount Tam. And I'll tell you, we saw some amazing things. No one would ever, ever, for any reason, be on these roads. And for good reason, because you can't actually get to where you want to go according to Google's description. There's a fork in the road where you're supposed to go on via Van Dyke, and it's like a gated road. You can't get through it. And, you know, and you get into this point where it's like, I'm following the directions. Are you sure? And this is the directions. You got to go left. Wait a minute. Exactly. And you cannot get there the way Google tries to send you. So finally we wound up backtracking after like an hour. I mean, it's only 15 minutes outside of the city. After an hour of driving through, I must say, beautiful, beautiful small roads with amazing homes that are up there in the hills of Mill Valley. We finally wound up going around the other direction. Of course, it's like a highway. You get there no problem. But it was disconcerting to see that Google, on four different attempts, kept saying, go this way, which it just doesn't work. The road is not a through road.
Yeah, I love it.
No, I don't.
When you see a big highway sign that says turn off here for Mount Tam and Google's telling you not to, I tend to believe the highway sign.
Yeah. I have to say, I'm loving the G phone. You know, it's got your directions, it's got the GPS, it does everything exactly. And, you know, you can see the route is mapped out, everything works, but it is impossible to get there the way they sent us. So we finally wound up going around the other way. Had lunch about 5 miles before the summit. There's now, of course, I forgot the name of the place. I'll put it in the show notes, like Summit Inn or something like that, where it's amazing. You sit on this deck outside and you look out over all of, I guess that's, what are we seeing? San Quentin. You can see, you're looking at San Quentin from there, my future home. And it was nice, man. It was absolutely awesome. But there's so many rules. There's so many things you're not allowed to do.
Yeah, like, there's lots of rules.
Like, you know, you have to be out by 7. God forbid you're in the park after 7. You know, you can't walk on certain parts. It's like, don't walk here. And it feels a little restricted.
Yeah.
For a park.
Well,
is that normal?
Obviously, people have been abusing it.
Yeah, and there's a lot of no smoking signs. That kind of makes sense to me.
They don't want it burnt to the ground.
Man, one spark would just torch that entire area. It is so dry right now.
It's always dry every year.
Yeah, I'm amazed that it doesn't just spark up regardless.
Happens all the time.
Anyways,
did you go to Muir Woods?
Yes, but only really kind of like grazed it. Didn't have a lot of time. And then on the way back, we did not go to Sam's Bar.
Sam's Anchor Cafe. Bar.
Yeah, Sam's Anchor or whatever. Cafe, that's it. We did go to Sausalito. And we did go to the No Name Bar. Why the hell did you send us to the No Name Bar?
Just so you could say you went there.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's about it. it's dark. It smells of urine. And there's no one in the place.
It's a pickup bar at night, I think.
No, dude. There was like an 80-year-old with a colostomy bag sitting next to me at the bar. This is not a pickup bar.
Oh, well, maybe it's changed. I haven't been there for 20 years.
Or maybe you pick up different kind of chicks than I do.
No, that's possible.
Gotta boom, ja.
I haven't been there for 20 years or longer. Or actually, now that I think about it.
Even longer than
let me,
that.
Let me get this straight. Let me just tell you the truth. I've actually never been in that bar.
Why did you send us to, you douche? That's horrible. We took a picture.
Because everybody talks about it all the time. I always like to send, you know, a scout.
No, well, I don't want to be your scout, okay? No more scouting. That's bullshit. But thank you very much. Mount Tam was a fantastic trip, a great idea. There are a couple pictures. I'll point to them. I think Mickey's putting them on their Facebook page or whatever. Really, really fantastic. Easy drive to get to from San Francisco if you're not following Google's directions. Follow the big sign that says Mount Tam this way. That's pretty much the way to go.
So there's a, occasionally it snows up there on that mountain.
Really? Doesn't it? What do you think the elevation is? A couple thousand feet?
It's not very high. It's 2,500 maybe at the most. I don't know.
Yeah, it didn't seem that high. So really, you get snow up there?
Yeah, if there's a snow cloud that comes over, it will drop usually a dusting on the top of Mount Tam and Mount Diablo. You usually get a batch. That's it. Mount Diablo gets hit pretty hard sometimes, where there's actually you could actually sled.
Huh. That would be cool.
I don't know about that. If you really just get on your car, drive up to the 80, you know, head to Reno. If it's like during the middle of winter, you get snows everywhere.
You're breaking up a bit. Are you uploading porn again?
Yeah, I'm going to send you to Reno on one of these trips.
Yeah, wait until I get the plane. It's coming in about a week.
No, it's not the same.
No, of course it's not the same. It's better. I want to fly to Reno. That'd be much cooler.
So your plane? So you were going to take a trip on this plane, but now you apparently aren't going to.
Yeah, the idea was end of August, because I'm going to take a short vacation. The idea was to, by the way, not from the show, just from work. What am I saying? I'm still planning on, you know, in my undisclosed location on a private aisle, I will still be doing the show. Not quite sure how the bandwidth is going to work, but we're going to figure it out one way or the other.
Hey, by the way, you keep talking about this under eminent domain every week, and you have not explained it to anybody.
Okay, we found out last week about a week and a half ago that this entire area where the minimum security containment cell is located, that it is being bulldozed under eminent domain, i.e. the government is forcing everyone to leave because they're taking it over. It's not even the government. The government sold the rights to the, what is it called, John? The Trans-Bay Joint Authority Power, which sounds like something right out of 1984. It's the Trans-Bay Joint Authority Powers. We have the power, which, of course, is a completely commercial organization. They are building between, I think it's like Harrison, or whatever, like Folsom and Market. I don't know. This huge terminal, which has been talked about for, I think, 7 or 8 years now. And there is indeed a parking lot not far from where we are that is the beginnings of it. but it's like this $8 billion project for a state and a city that is bankrupt, and they're going to build a terminal for buses. For buses to Oakland.
No, it's unbelievable. And this thing is a monster.
No, no, it's not just a monster. It's an obelisk, okay? It's a complete New World Order fascist project. And this thing is going to be the largest, you know, building in, well, even larger, taller than the Tower of Death, apparently, which is already the tallest building west of the Mississippi. And they're going to, and check this, they're talking about a high speed train to Los Angeles. I mean, how can you even believe this shit anymore? It's not going to happen. There's not going to be a high speed train to Los Angeles. Although, well,
they train experts have long said that you can't really do a high speed train in Los Angeles because of there's a mountain range between here and Los Angeles called the Grapevine, and it's pretty high. In fact, it snows there a lot, and this is in Southern California. And it's just too steep, and I don't think they're going to spend the money to drill a hole through the thing.
No, I think they're going to call it the John Galt Railroad.
Yeah, where's John Galt? So they're going to do that, and then the other thing they're supposed to do with this terminal, they're supposed to bring in the Marin County bus system for the Marinites, and then they're going to bring in the Caltrain, which is actually parks itself over there on
4th Street, right? It's on 4th.
Yeah, 4th and,
which is a beautiful train station. It's fantastic, functional, it's great. Why do we need to change it?
Yeah, and meanwhile, how are you going to get the trains from there over to this piece of crap?
Well, more eminent domain. They're just going to remove
people.
Yeah,
but are they going to run a bunch of rails right through all that important part of the city, which is packed? But it'd be a disaster. They have to drill another hole, and I don't see that they can afford to do that.
I'm going to put a couple
in an
links.
Earthquake area.
I'm going to put up a couple links to some of the PDF files that they've published about this. When you see it, I mean, it's going to be a big shopping promenade. It's all going to be beautiful for families. Lots of trees. In fact, where I'm sitting
If you go to today's Transbay Terminal, which we're going to film, it's just got a bunch of bums.
Yeah, it's their home.
Yeah, panhandlers.
No, they're not even panhandlers. They're just living there, man. That's their home. They got their boxes set up. It's nice and dry. And no one takes the bus there that I know of.
I do.
Really? You take the bus to that terminal?
Yeah. I come into the city on Wednesdays for those meetings, I always take the bus. It's the easiest way to get in and out, and it's cheap.
Hey, you know, you don't have to say it like that. Those meetings.
Oh, by the way, the cool thing that they do have, and they have these big, giant green Transbay buses over here in the Oakland, Alameda County, actually, and they have Wi-Fi on them, and they're very big, comfy buses. Hmm. They're not like, you know, a typical little bus.
Well, anyway, so all these beautiful buildings here, which are really, you know, they're some of them I believe are historic. I think our building is not historic, but it is architecturally interesting. They're all going to be leveled now. So what we're finding out is two buildings down is in phase one. They have to get out by December, and it's still not sure or not. We're not certain whether we're in plan one or plan two. If it's plan two, I could be good for another couple of years. If it's plan one, Merry fucking Christmas.
Well, you can always move to Marin.
I'm not going to move to Marin.
Then you can take the bus into the terminal.
And meet interesting children from other lands while on the bus. People like you ride the bus, John. Enough said. I don't think so. Hey,
I'm all for public transportation.
Yeah. Let me get some swine flu stuff out of the way right off the bat, just so we can kind of deal with it. Because, you know, there's so much, and it just continues. The ridiculousness of what's happening goes on. But I signed up for website alerts at the CDC website, and it works. They sent me an alert that all the PDFs were updated from their July 29th presentation for the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices. And so they have a whole bunch of PDFs, and one of them was titled the Marketing PDF. Of course, I'm very interested in that. You know, how are these guys going to market this? And they have all these, you know, you know what a SWOT analysis is, right, John? Have an axis, and you have strengths, weaknesses, opportunities,
oh, yeah,
and
right.
threats. You know, it's like marketing 101. And so they have a couple of those charts, and, you know, what if it's this type of a threat? What if it's that type of a threat? And then they have all of their key messages and their social media efforts. But then there was like some, there was some quotes that you could use if you're trying to communicate to the public. And by the way, top of the list is how they're going to communicate this through the news media. I love that. It's like, what's the best way to communicate our message? Through the news media, of course. We own those fuckers. So I just wanted to give you a couple of quotes, and these are literally quotes, and you can watch them show up because this is the official messaging, the overarching key messages and themes. Let's see, this is the extra, the additional messages. Here we go. So that's what was most interesting, the additional messages. And I'm quote, everything is literally in quotes on this slide or on these series of slides. And of course, I'll put links to it in the show notes at noagenda.mevio.com. While the novel H1N1 influenza virus has been the focus of attention since the spring, it is important that we do not forget the risks posed by seasonal influenza viruses. So that's probably the most innocuous of all of them. We hope that people, especially those at high risk for serious complications and their close contacts, will start to go out and get vaccinated in September or as soon as vaccine is available at their doctor's offices or in their communities. Another quote. The seasonal flu vaccine is not expected to protect against the new H1N1 influenza virus. Scientists at the NIH, the CDC, and the FDA are working with vaccine manufacturers to prepare and test a safe and effective vaccine. As medical and public health professionals, parents and grandparents, ensuring the health and safety of our children is a top priority. These are actual messages you will see showing up in the news media first. CDC is working to enhance our safety monitoring systems and will actively encourage providers and vaccine recipients to report to us adverse events following vaccination. And then in parentheses, whether or not they believe the vaccine caused the event. They are so aware of what's going to happen, John. They are so aware of the adverse effects that they actually have it in their messaging now.
Mm.
And when you read through this, you will say to yourself, my God, this could have been a marketing deck for Microsoft. And they are selling this to the public. And it shows you exactly how they're going to do it. And you can follow it. And you can check back.
Yeah. It's all propaganda.
Well, marketing propaganda, whatever you want to call it.
Well, I would call it propaganda. Marketing is propaganda, but when it's done by the, I think the definition would be if it's done by the government, then it's, if it's done by a private individual or private enterprise, then it's marketing. If it's done by the government, it's propaganda.
What is TIV? Do you have any idea?
I'm sorry?
TIV, as it pertains to vaccinations, TIV?
Maybe it has to do with the, I don't know.
Because
I mean, IV is, you know,
intravenous or whatever.
What would the T stand for? Maybe somebody knows out there.
Trouble. So there's another slide here that talks about how the trials are going to be conducted. And so they talk about adjuvanted CSL vaccine, unadjuvanted SP vaccine, one versus two doses, and then sequential administration of TIV and H1N1 vaccine in adults.
Trivalent inactivated influenza.
Ah, so that's right. So that makes sense. So they have a couple trials which are going to be with active virus, a couple trials that will be with inactive virus.
Yeah, that's just tested on the public.
I'm telling you. 21 days apart. I mean, it's all here. If any of the news media would just download some of these PDFs, and maybe someone who has a background in medicine,
the words are too long.
Yeah, it is. It makes my head spin.
I'm more interested in the general kind of propaganda that's pushed out there by the by big media, mm-hmm. And I have a bunch of clips.
Oh, yeah, good.
We've talked about this before, unless you have more to say about the swine flu.
I have plenty more, but it can wait until we're further along.
I want you to play some of these clips that we have collected here. I think there's just abhorrent, but the Law and Order show decided somewhere along the lines to do this measles show that they did, which was just basically a promotion of getting vaccinated.
Now, Law and Order is a drama series, correct?
Yeah, but this is Special Victims Unit. This is the one that has all the weird. Yeah, Law and Order, New York elevator version.
You actually watch this shit, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And so I think the stuff's well written, but this particular episode I thought was just, it was so filled with propaganda and propagandistic techniques.
And this is, you know, regarding vaccinations.
Back and forth argument. I'm sorry, they'd have a back and forth argument that was lopsided, for example.
Mm-hmm.
But it was, you know, interesting, and the more emotional people were, you know, on one side and the other. But the play clip measles one, so you can kind of get a feeling for it. This is after just play it.
Sarah Walker's death wasn't a homicide. She was just dug out of a shallow grave. She didn't fall in there playing hopscotch.
Well, whoever put her in there didn't kill her. Encephalitis did.
Swelling of the brain?
Brought on by measles.
Wow, you can hear how bad that acting is when you don't see the picture. No, isn't that awesome? Like,
it's terrible, I know.
Swelling of the brain?
Did.
Swelling of the brain?
Brought on by measles.
Are you sure it's measles? No signs of abuse or neglect?
No bruises or abrasions either. Her teeth weren't in great shape, but mostly from a diet high in sugars. That's it.
But measles. How does that happen this day and age?
She wasn't vaccinated.
Oh, dude, first of all, it sounds like Rachel Maddow. No doubt about it. But how bad is that acted? That is so horrible. And of course,
I don't think they're into playing these roles so much. And the funny thing is, they're using the medical examiner, who's the black woman, who's not. Generally, there's this one woman, this white blonde, who's been doing the medical examiner since the beginning of the show. She is probably the richest person in the world on residuals. And I think she's on this show, but if she was, she wasn't on this episode. I think she says, screw you, I'm not doing this one. It's just terrible. But did you notice there was two pieces of propaganda in there? One was the teeth weren't in good shape thanks to sugar.
Yes, of course.
Candy.
Right,
that
was the first one, right?
Right, but then it goes into vaccination. The rest of the show, and this is essentially condemning one woman who didn't get herself, the story's about a woman who didn't have her kid vaccinated. He got the measles, and he accidentally bumped into this other girl who died. And so they decided to charge her with not homicide or anything else, but with murder.
All right, what do I play now?
Play the clip. I think it's what's on the list. There's, I think, a clip three.
Okay.
I went to see a girl.
After you had recommitted to your new life.
There's a single girl.
Oh, wait, stop.
That's not the one. I have
No, this is the Amish one.
I have measles nutcase, I have measles neighbors, and measles MMR.
Okay, go. The one that you were playing, we're going to play again, but I want to set this one up because this is they decide to go to an Amish guy who's got the beard, and he's like a fanatic old man who's just really Amish. He thinks everything sucks and it's stupid.
Wait a minute, kinda John. Like, it's like you, exactly. Yeah, I just wanted to hear it. Yeah.
So anyway, he goes on and they make him look like he's a complete maniac, and he's obviously an idiot.
Because he's against vaccinations, right?
That's right, why and he's then a complete the kid idiot. Who's having second thoughts about being Amish, and here's the clip. Play it.
I went to see a girl.
After you had recommitted to your new life.
There's this English girl, Megan. I had to see her.
You had to see one of those harlots? Is that why you went to the hospital? For a venereal disease?
No, it was just a rash.
It's the measles.
We don't vaccinate.
There's a lot of things we don't do.
Oh, my God. Oh, this is...
There's a lot of things we don't do as old-fashioned people.
First of all, he sounds like he's Irish for some reason. Why? Who pays for this show?
Okay, let's go to the clip of the neighbors.
Okay, do you need to set it up?
Or this is the woman who ends up getting charged with murder.
What, did my neighbors call you? Why would they do that? Because they're upset at the choices I've made for my family.
Like not vaccinating your son?
I won't put my son at risk because Big Pharma and their lackeys in the media try and jam vaccination down our throats.
Even if that puts him at risk?
What risk? He had measles 2 weeks ago, and the immune system he was born with kicked in, and now he's fine.
Well, Sarah Walker isn't fine. She's dead after being infected by your son.
Okay, look. First of all, how can you watch this, John? The acting is so atrocious. It is beyond atrocious. They are reading the script from the Ministry of Truth. I can just hear, you know, Big Pharma and their crazy lackeys. Oh, my God. God.
Okay, now we're going to go to, now here's the one, this is, I'm going to set the next, now this is the nutcase clip. This is where they be,
they find someone who is really against vaccines.
No,
like
no, they, this is, they're talking about this woman. They talk about her as a crazy person for having these thoughts about big pharma and vaccines. And by the way, I want to mention to people out there, all my kids have been vaccinated against measles. I'm not of the opinion, like Adam might be, that it's bad and there's, you know, it's, generally, I just think that there's some other message here, and what they're trying to do is set people up to just take any shot that they bring up.
Okay.
Which is, of course, what we're talking about.
Can I just say one thing? I'm not against all vaccinations.
Okay, good. That's
I am against adjuvanted crap and oil and water shit and
that's
untested.
Crazy thing. Right.
Okay. Right.
I am too. So let's go and play the nutcase. So here's where they berate the woman behind her back, and then they bring up a phony argument. So it sounds like they're being objective, but the guy they have to take her side is one of the nuttier guys, and nobody takes him seriously. And the whole thing is a beautiful piece of propaganda. Listen to this.
That lady is a lunatic. What she's doing is a danger to society.
Yeah, but not illegal.
Oh, are you defending her?
Maybe he's right, Al. I mean, sometimes parents know what's best for their kids.
Right, and we decided to vaccinate our kids so they'd be safe.
Well, that was your choice. Telling parents how to raise their kids, that's a quick slide down the slippery slope of government tyranny.
Monica Stewart's son got the measles and nothing happened to him. I mean, it's not so black and white.
Wait a minute. Sierra got the measles from Monica's son and died. Now, all of a sudden, my little boy's at risk because of some nutcase mom?
Well, she's not the only nutcase mom. Ashley takes that prize.
But her kid was too young to be immunized. Every child under a year old is at risk. It's just stupid not to vaccinate your children.
You want stupid?
Richard Belzer should be taken out back and shot. I mean, you're right. This is 100% propaganda. I can just see the producers going, hey, did the government send over the scripts this week yet? We're ready for them. We got to do that German measles episode.
It's just, it's deplorable.
How much, you know, we should really, I really like analyzing this with audio only, John, because you have no distraction. You really hear clearly what they're doing when you just listen to it. The minute you, I think if you have all the pretty moving pictures and everything flashing on the screen, you're probably just not aware of what's being said. But man, when you listen to it, you just hear how some guy in the Pentagon wrote this.
It's unbelievable.
he had a uniform on.
Is there one more clip on there? Because there was one.
MMR? We haven't done MMR.
Yeah, the MMR clip. And this is the one, by the way, I only took a little piece of this. This is the medical examiner, the doctor, on the stand, on the witness stand, going on and on and on about how everything is, you know, hunky-dory and MMR is so important. But just play it, and this will be the last one.
Measles is one of the most communicable diseases on the planet. It stays in the room for up to an hour after the infected person has left. It's transmittable from up to 200 yards away.
I thought measles had been eradicated.
It was. But right now, England has a measles epidemic because people are refusing to immunize themselves and their
children. Total horseshit, by the way.
Children. And the last serious outbreak here in the early 90s led to 123 deaths in unvaccinated children.
Why would people choose not to vaccinate their children against something so dangerous?
The most common reasons are for religious beliefs.
It's like she's reading a Wikipedia page.
Suspicion about the science behind immunization.
Is the science behind immunization faulty?
Is the science behind immunization faulty?
Absolutely not. Measles is totally preventable with the MMR vaccine. Not being immunized is irresponsible.
Despite any side effects from the vaccine.
There is a minimal risk, but it's more dangerous to drive a car than to take the MMR vaccine.
Yeah, thank you.
It's more dangerous. Here's a couple points in here. One, it's more dangerous to drive a car than just about anything.
Yeah, thank you. That's the most dangerous activity you can participate in.
So let's go over this one comment. It says, I thought it was eradicated. It was. Wait a minute. If it was eradicated, there's no way. That means it's eradicated. Eradicated means
done.
Eradicated.
Done. Finn. And then there is a measles epidemic in the United Kingdom. There was something about a year ago. There was a small outbreak. There's nothing going. Keep talking, John. I'm going to Google measles outbreak in the UK.
So anyway, so she goes on with, if it was eradicated, okay, the point is if it was eradicated, then she says it was, How could it be it was and then but? I mean, if something's eradicated, that means it's gone forever.
Here, June 14th.
I mean, smallpox was eradicated, although it wasn't quite because they kept a few of these little vials around in case they want to kill us all. But the point is, it obviously wasn't eradicated.
So the outbreak referred to, as reported by the BBC, was June 14th, 2006, where 156 cases in South Yorkshire were reported. I don't think there are any deaths, but it's hardly an outbreak. Yeah,
epidemic is what she called it.
Are you sure?
I think so. If you play it again, she says, "There's an epidemic."
Measles is one of the most communicable diseases on the planet.
Is that true? Is it one of the most communicable diseases on the planet?
I don't know.
It stays.
Go look at the wiki page. I swear to God, she's reading the wiki page. I swear to you.
Let's see what she says.
Okay, this is funny. You got the wiki page?
No, I don't.
Well, get the wiki page.
Oh God!
No, okay, please.
I gotta get the typewriter keyboard off the floor.
I'll go.
Let me.
Come on, this is funny.
Oh, you just like to hear me type.
Yeah, it's hot. Let me see. I'm going to do it too. Measles.
Yeah, infection of the respiratory system called by a virus, especially blah blah blah. The genus Morbillivirus.
Right, there we go.
Measles is one of the most communicable diseases on the planet. It stays in the room for up to an hour after the infected person has left. It's transmittable from up to 200 yards away.
I thought measles had been eradicated.
It was.
It was. It was.
But right now, England has a measles epidemic.
Right now, England has a measles epidemic. It's a lie. When was this aired? Is this an original episode?
I think it was a 2008 show.
Because people are refusing to immunize themselves and their children.
Damn British. Killed them.
The last serious outbreak here in the early 90s led to 123 deaths in unvaccinated children.
Is that true?
I don't know. I don't find any documentation for that. I mean, it's possible.
Why would people choose not to vaccinate their children against something so dangerous?
The most common reasons are for religious beliefs.
You religious kooks, you!
Or suspicion about the science behind immunization.
Is the science behind immunization false?
Do you hear how that flows, how that goes? It's like question and answer. It's like an Obama press conference, actually.
It's totally like an Obama press conference.
Absolutely not.
Go ahead.
It's just ridiculous. Anyway, every time I run in, that's why I watch this stuff. I mean, I think that the propaganda, people need to deconstruct what they're watching on television and decide if they're watching a good drama or what are the elements of propaganda within this that they're trying to brainwash the public about. In this case, it's obviously take whatever shot they tell you because it's a way to go and you're irresponsible if you don't. You know, and this, the way the story went, by the way, the woman got arrested and charged with murder, and she got off somehow.
Gee,
and then,
like, because of the constitutional rights?
I remember there being a version of the show where she didn't get off, but it may have been a different show. They may be doing the show over and over on different versions of Law and Order. I don't know what the deal is. But whatever the case, she got off, and then the mom and the dad of the dead granddaughter will go berserk and start throwing bricks at her house, and then the dad runs in to, like, get her, as the crazy mom, by the way, who's just a complete lunatic, is screaming, kill her, and he goes in there with a gun. The grandfather,
who
loved the little girl, goes in there with a gun, pulls it out, and then blows his own head off, saying, "Now you've killed two people."
Oh, shit.
So the
he
cops
suicided
walk in.
Himself.
So the cops walk in, and this woman's shaking like a leaf, saying, "Oh," and then they're all looking down, and then that one cop who's the pro-vaccine guy gives, you know, like, give her a dirty look for all the damage she's done.
See what
the
you've done now.
If she wasn't indicted to begin with, that guy would have been alive.
Oh, my goodness. Well, that's just one side of it. And by the way, it makes total sense because it's very expensive to put a show like this together. So having government funding, and I will see if we can find out some of where the funding comes from, who's producing it. I mean, we should delve into that a little bit.
Dick Wolf, I mean, I don't know what the connection is with the government. I don't think there is any, but...
Well,
no,
dude, of course there is. What does this air on? Is this in syndication or is it air on...
It's on NBC.
Well, thank you very much. NBC.
General Electric.
Right. So now on ABC, We have Dr. Richard Besser, who has now been hired as ABC's medical reporter, and he'll be on, what is the morning show on ABC? Of course, he was the government's swine flu czar.
Why didn't he stay in that job? The swine flu thing's not over yet.
No, but he serves better, much better, when he's perceived as a medical doctor giving you really sound advice. He has that whole face that, like, hey, believe me, I want your kids to live. So now he's going to be the senior medical reporter. You know what that is. It's just like that Gupta dude who's on CNN.
Yeah, he was going to work for Obama, but then he decided he didn't like Rahm Emanuel or something.
No. He serves the mission better if he's not directly related to the government.
Yeah, you're right.
It makes so much sense.
So what's this guy's name?
Dr. Richard Besser, B-E-S-S-E-R, the CDC director who led the government's communications efforts during the swine flu outbreak. He currently heads the CDC's Coordinating Office for Terrorism, Preparedness, and Emergency Response. Doesn't he look like you want him to treat your kids? Oh,
yeah,
Dr. Besser.
He's got the authoritative doctor/professor kind of
totally.
Look for a young professor.
Totally. Oh, doctor. Oh, please vaccinate my children. I feel so good. Smartronics, remember them, John?
Oh, yeah.
These are the guys who got the $18 million, as far as we know, no-bid contract to build recovery.gov. So they're supposed to, they were, you know, in the auspices of transparency, they, of course, were supposed to release their contract so that we could review that to see exactly.
Oh,
well,
that's never going to happen.
Well, it was going to happen, but according to the General Services Administration and the Recovery Accountability and Transparency Board, quote, the only thing that has delayed getting this document 508 compliant, which I guess is the code for transparency, said board spokesman Ed Pound, another ex-cop, referring to the law that requires agencies to make their electronic and information technology accessible to people with disabilities. We are not going to put information up on our website that is not accessible to the blind or disabled. Don't you love it?
Bravo!
It's a text file, you dick. It's so funny. And it's a redacted version of the contract. We can't even see the whole contract. It's going to be redacted. Why does it have to be? It's a website.
Why?
It's a website. It has to be redacted. Thank you, John Stick.
WordPress out.
Oh my! Well, there is. I haven't read it yet, but I just got a follow up email from one of our listener producers, John Stick, and he says that he has here what he thinks is a version of the document that they're supposed to put out. I just haven't had time to look at it. He actually says, note who their partners are. So I'm afraid to go look at that document. But I love that. I love saying, hey man, we can't put this up yet because we're not compliant yet. It has to be accessible to the blind and the disabled.
They're probably still working on trying to say, how are we going to rationalize $18 million for this $50,000 job?
Yeah, it's probably easier for them to just kill us to stop talking about it. Don't you think?
It would be cheaper.
Somewhat. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I thought that was pretty damn good.
We got to get on this gravy train. I'm sick of like talking about it. We just sound like a jealous couple old farts. Look at these guys. They made $18 million on a $50,000 job. How come we can't do that?
Yeah, you're right. Okay, the thing that's really bothering me in the media, as we're kind of on that track right now, and, you know, whenever something's on Glenn Beck's show, it's like, that's a big, like, warning, this has got to be some cover-up, some bullshit going on here. So there's two stories. The story that everyone is now jumping on is, if you go to the government's Cash for Clunkers website, have you heard about this, John? I'm sure you've blogged it or someone has mentioned it to you.
The bloggers have done a bunch of Cash for Clunkers things.
Right. So this is all over the place. It's like, well, when you go to this website, you come up with a part that what is it that says by using this application, your computer now belongs to us and the government and all the files on it. And, you know, basically it gives the government free rein to hack your computer and access all your files in perpetuity. Something like that, right?
I should be doing this with my blog.
Well, that's a good idea. So let me ask you this question. The Cash for Clunkers program, as far as I understand it, was an incentive program under, I believe, maybe the stimulus package to get people to buy more automobiles. Is that correct? Is that the basic premise of this program?
Well, actually, it has dual trifold. I'm thinking of a way you fold an envelope or a letter. Anyway, it has a number of purposes. One is to get people to go off their butts to get a new car, because a lot of people have been putting it off. The second was to get a bunch of old clunkers within a certain range that are gas guzzlers off the road in exchange, because you have to get a car that has gets better gas mileage. So it's also green.
I don't trust this initiative, and the reason why I don't trust it is because it is not just a U.S. initiative. This is happening in Germany. This is happening in the United Kingdom, who have no car industry whatsoever to speak of. It's happening in the Netherlands. Again, no car industry at all. There's got to be something extra to it, John. It just, this Cash for Clunkers, it's a global initiative, which once again just shows how great they are at rolling this shit out on a global scale, because we pretty much are one big Gitmo nation now. But it can't all be to stimulate the car industry. I don't see where, you know, not every car is a huge gas guzzler. It doesn't make sense. It just doesn't make sense to me.
Every car is a huge gas guzzler.
Help me out here. I want to understand.
I don't know. All I know is that if I'm going to take the TARP money, $700 billion, and I have a choice of doing two things with it, one, giving it to bankers, or two, giving it to the public is so they bring their old cars in and it boosts the car industry, I would rather have number two take place.
Right, but of course, it's not really boosting the car industry. And by the way, we rented a car for the weekend. What is it? American cars are made of plastic.
A lot of them.
No, all
of them.
What
car did you have? Just tell what that was the car.
The Ford Escape. It's a midsize SUV. It's plastic. Everything about this automobile is plastic. It's probably toxic. It's one big plastic toxic.
They're trying to kill us with these cars.
I'm telling you. A German Catholic bank has apologized to investors and promised to sell its shares in a contraception producer, a weapons firm, and tobacco companies. Gotta love the Catholic Church.
Obscure headlines.
No, we have a different jingle for that, John.
And now, back to real news.
I really didn't think it was that obscure. I thought it was. People don't realize the Catholic Church really is a huge bank.
Yeah. Well, they always were.
Yeah, but people don't
realize
that.
In fact,
they're
the ones who had to put the Knights Templar out of business because they were becoming a bigger bank.
They were becoming a syndicate, right? The Knights Templar, they had money everywhere, and you could basically syndicate, you know, your money. You could say, well, I'm gonna borrow it here and pay it back in a different country. I think, didn't they invent that?
Yeah, they invented most modern banking tricks.
What happened to the Knights Templar?
They got run out of town by one of the Catholic popes, who just took a disliking to them because apparently the church owed them a lot of money. So the way to deal with it is just to get rid of them. So they rousted them, and most of them ended up, they think, nobody knows what happened to them because a lot of them just disappeared. Very few of them actually got captured. And it seems as if Switzerland absorbed them, and Switzerland suddenly went from being a backwaters,
the banking country of the world.
So I believe that the Knights Templar are either Swiss or British bankers today.
And you base all of your information, of course, on the Tom Hanks
movie. History Channel special.
I base it on the Da Vinci Code. That's how I know about the Knights Templar.
A History Channel special on this. I'm watching it going, well, that's interesting. Seems right. The trouble is, every time the History Channel, I should mention this to people, I do have, since I have a degree in history, there's certain parts of history that I know way too much of, and they will go into something that I'm fairly knowledgeable about, and I've read most of the literature, and they're wrong.
Yeah, it's full of shit. I you know, this has become another Gitmo Nation communications channel. I can't watch it anymore.
Well, I still like the Knights Templar theory that they're all Swiss bankers.
Was that one of their theories, though?
No, apparently some historian came up. They tried to figure out where all these guys went, and they know a lot of them disappeared into Switzerland, and they made the point that Switzerland was just a bunch of farmers one day. Next day, they're a bunch of bankers. Coincidence? Perhaps.
Yeah, read the book. I had not expected this to happen. Of all the guys who has been anti-establishment throughout his career and his music lives on, Led Zeppelin's Robert Plant has now joined the establishment after accepting a CBE from Prince Charles.
He's a knight.
Yeah. Well, not quite a knight. It's kind of like a night light. It's kind of like a night layaway program is what
it is. Well, the CBE is what? Is something of the British Empire.
Something of the British Empire. Citizen of the British Empire? Is that it, maybe?
No, everybody's a citizen of the British Empire.
Yeah, well, I want one of those nifty-looking medals. That looks cool. But, you know, throughout the years, many, particularly artists, have refused these types of awards from the kingdom for this very reason, saying, hey, I don't want to be a part of the establishment. That would basically go against everything that that I stood for in my art.
Commander of the British Empire.
Commander. Wow. That's a good title.
Yeah.
What do you get with Commander of the British Empire? Is there any
you get any bennies? Poke in the eye with a sharp stick.
Are there any bennies there, man? Should we get one of those? I was kind of disappointed to see that. Would you accept one if you got...
No, absolutely.
Yeah, of course you would.
I need the stuff for the walls. I mean, I don't have enough art. I mean, I've collected a lot of stuff, but I would love to have a couple of certificates. The only thing I've managed to get is the Kentucky Colonel. I'm a Kentucky Colonel.
At least I have the Connecticut School of Broadcasting. I actually have
I went to the Paul Allen School of Broadcasting, but they never gave us certificates.
No, I did a speech once. They said, hey, would you come and talk at the Connecticut School of Broadcasting? For those of you who've never lived on the East Coast, this is like, for years they ran infomercials. The Connecticut School of, have a career in radio, have a career in television. The Connecticut School of Broadcasting can get you this career. And so they asked me to come and speak one time. I said, yeah, I'll come and speak, no fee, but I do want to have, a diploma. I want an honorary degree from the Connecticut School of Broadcasting. It's like, no problem.
And of course they said yes.
Yeah, just walk over to the laser printer, pick it up. No problem. So are you familiar with the Krakatoa Rock? I'm not pronouncing that, I'm sure, properly. Krakatoa Rock.
Krakatoa?
Krakatoa, yeah.
About the volcano?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm very familiar with it.
Do you know that it's active right now? That it's
it's always
kind
of active. It could blow at any time.
Yeah, but it seems, well, there's a report from the Daily Mail that, you know, says it's really kind of, and there's some beautiful pictures, by the way. It's just outstanding. This thing is not just, it's spewing, John. There's lava building. It's twice as big as it was a couple of years ago. This thing is really on fire right now. Here, let me say.
Well, you know, we don't want that. That's unfortunately Krakatoa.
That's a bad one, right? That one killed a lot of people.
Or Krakatoa, depends on how you.
Yeah, there's a link on your Skype.
The problem with this volcano, it's one of the five or six super volcanoes on the globe. Then when they go off,
it really,
we have serious problems.
The last time that happened in, what was it? I think, here it is. 1883 eruption killed more than 36,000 people and radically altered global weather and temperature for years afterwards.
Yeah, you end up with a 2 or 3 year cooling period, crops fail, there's famines, all kinds of bad things happen.
Look at that link, man. These pictures
are
spectacular.
And that wasn't even one of the big... apparently, this thing has gone off a couple of times. It's really been astonishing. I'm clicking on it. It's not doing anything. I click. Nothing happens. You use that.
You sound like Mevio QA.
Let's try it again. There it comes.
You got it?
Krakatoa rocked the world again. Last time it killed thousands and changed the weather for 5 years. Well, now it could be even deadlier.
It is the Daily Mail, okay?
Well, this picture's bogus, of course.
What do you mean bogus?
This is a drawing.
Wait a minute. What are you talking about, a drawing?
This is drawings. This is not what the volcano's doing.
What are you looking at? I'm looking at pictures. Are you looking? I'm seeing pictures here. I'm seeing pictures of beautiful high-res pictures.
Looks like a drawing.
I don't know what you're talking about. It's not a drawing.
The largest part of the volcano is actually underwater.
Right.
This is just a little offshoot.
Though these are not drawings, John. These are high-resolution pictures.
This top picture looks like a fake.
The one that's taken through the trees on the beach?
Yeah, it's artistic.
It's a beautiful picture. It's taken by Marco Fuller of Barcroft Media. Okay.
Well, we'll see what happens.
All right.
Some worth watching. I mean, they keep talking about, you know, the worst case scenario is if Yellowstone ever blows up.
Yeah, that we were following that for a while and just kind of went away. Is it no longer? I mean, we were having like 100 earthquakes a day. Or
just the road still melts. And
In the Netherlands, Gitmo Nation Lowlands, they are now seriously talking about mandatory vaccinations for healthcare workers, and there's a big brouhaha started about that. You know, I get so many emails from healthcare workers who listen to this show, who, you know, pass on information, and they're like, "Wow, man, I'm going to quit my job. I really don't want to take a mandatory vaccination for anything." But now the Minister of Health is saying, "Well, I'm sorry, we're really going to have to make this mandatory."
You know, I hate to stop you in that during that thought. We'll go back to it. But I'm looking at news articles about Krakatoa.
Yeah.
You know, under news, it's the only people that are even talking about it is the Daily Mail. So this means there's nothing okay, going on.
All right, it's bullshit. Let me then just go back to the cash for clunkers for 1 second. I guess the reason that this whole thing kind of irked me is, you know, this program was so out of money. The House did on last Thursday. Friday did a very quick $2 billion additional budget approval for this program. $2
billion. Wow. They put a billion in to begin with, and they're going to put another couple billion to keep people buying cars. Because apparently it was a very successful way to get rid of some of this TARP money. But believe me, I'm not against them giving
it
to public.
Is it the TARP money? That doesn't sound right.
No, I'm just saying, no, but it's all coming out of space. It's all coming out of the same pot somehow.
Yeah, out of our pocket.
Well, out of our pocket and into, at least these people will be driving cars that are safer.
I should have pulled a couple of clips from the Bill Maher show from Friday. This was a fantastic show.
Oh, that's impossible.
No, let me tell you why. Because they have on the panel some British guy. They got, I didn't know who they were. It doesn't matter. And they're talking about the Federal Reserve, and not a single person on this show could explain, including Bill Maher, he actually said, "I don't know what the Federal Reserve does." And then the British guy starts telling everyone what the Federal Reserve does. It's like, "Oh, they control the interest rates. You know, it's really good thing." I'm like, what, this fucking shill from this limey is all of a sudden in telling these stupid idiot Americans what the Federal Reserve does? The American people on television don't even understand that the Federal Reserve prints our money and then lend it back to us. At interest. It was an amazing show. Actually, I do have it recorded. I'm gonna pull a couple clips from that because
I got a bunch of clips I didn't throw in this week, which was including because I ended up watching C-SPAN half the week. But you know, you want to shoot yourself.
Yeah, we're just a bunch of idiots.
I got some more Waxman material coming for the next Thursday show.
Okay, good. You have a couple more clips lined up if you want to talk about that. Otherwise, I just can go into all kinds of crazy shit.
Well, go to my bee clip number one. Now, the thing about bees, we talk about this every so often, but they finally found that there's a really good Nature episode running this week on PBS. You should check it out. It's about the bees. And they found what's killing all these bees, which is really a big threat to everybody.
It's a two-minute clip. Play the whole thing?
No, clip one, yeah.
DNA tests have isolated a single suspect. A virus found in nearly all of the CCD hives. It's a virus that until now was found only in Israel, called IAPV, Israeli Acute Paralysis Virus. The group believes they've found the culprit. The team now turns to the more difficult question. How did the virus get to the United States? All test results seem to point to one likely source. Australia.
Ta-da! Okay, that's good.
What?
That's enough of that clip. Play clip number two.
Australia did it.
Where did the virus come from?
Yeah.
We buy a lot of bees from Australia, and they come in packs.
Really? Yeah, I'll take a six-pack of bees. Some of them Aussie bees.
Where did the virus come from? One thing that gets missed is that we found this particular virus in royal jelly from China as well. But we cite it as being present in the U.S., Australian bees, and royal jelly from China. So the question of where it's come from and where, you know, who had it first, that's really unanswered at this time.
Of course, China is always in the background of these things, and they apparently make royal jelly, which they sell to the U.S. and other bee areas, and they feed it to the bees, and so that's, you can really obviously get a, you know, they're killing us. There's a whole part of China where there's, in the southern area somewhere, they were doing a piece on that where there's no bees anymore. And so they've had the hand, but they killed off all the bees with pesticides, the Chinese have. And so they have to hand pollinate all these pear trees. And then they ran out some stats on the fact that, a hive of bees can do like billions of flowers, and to do it by hand takes, you can only do like, few a day. It's ridiculous.
It's interesting you say that, because I was just reading today that of pears specifically, 94, nearly every orange, 94% of pineapples, and 90% of pears sampled in the United States are laced with chemicals used to kill bugs. High proportions of apples, grapes, and tomatoes are also tainted, as were parsnips, melons, and cucumbers. So the stuff that we're eating basically still has sample traces of chemicals that are used to kill bugs. I mean, I'm sure some of that would kill bees.
Yeah, no, the problem is, in fact, I'm going to start doing this on our show, which is the pesticide of the week.
Oh, yeah. We need one of those jingles to go along with.
Yeah, as soon as somebody comes up with a jingle, I start to do the bit. It won't take that long. But because I've been looking at pesticides, and because I've been working on two stories. One is the
writing another book.
Writing another book. I'm working on white nose syndrome, which I think we need to discuss once in a while.
Isn't that a Hollywood problem?
That's a good one.
Ba-doom-tsh. Yeah.
Finally.
Yes, it's about time.
So, but I ran into this fact sheet, which I'll send you the link to and you can post it. It's a fact sheet of pesticides, actually new chemicals that's been added to the list of things that you can use since about 1997. And it's just pages and pages and pages of weird crap that just keeps being brought into the market, and it's always very dubiously tested, it seems to me. Miticides, insecticides, fungicides, rodenticides, herbicides, on and on and on.
Spermicides.
It's just like, no, those aren't usually sprayed. The
you haven't seen me.
It's page after page after page of weird things. Anyway.
Yeah, and meanwhile, the lettuce you buy from Whole Foods, organic, stays good in your fridge for 3 weeks. What's up with that?
Well, it's probably fresher, for one thing.
Oh, please. 3 weeks?
Well, it's obviously they got there's a bag. They may have that chemical. It's in the – no, I don't think they do that.
Well, they're not supposed to. It's supposed to be non-GMO and non-pesticide.
Yeah, I think there's something going on. I have no idea. Maybe one of our producers out there can tell us why that
– why does lettuce from Whole Foods stay good in the fridge for 2 to 3 weeks? It just doesn't sound right.
It's a little too long.
So if you want to know what's wrong with America, there's a great clip. This is a town hall meeting, or a council meeting, I believe, in Santa Cruz, California, where a fine, upstanding young member of America's youth goes into some detail about how we can actually say – have you seen this?
Yeah, well, I actually have a clip of it. I didn't send it over, but I want to say something about it too before you run it. Which is basically, this woman is typical of the people who live in the Santa Cruz area, but there is a cult of people who record the Santa Cruz City Council just to get these sorts of clips, because they're just priceless.
Here it comes. City Council testimony, May 13th. Play.
Well, the crops are growing very well, and they're organic, and some of them have pesticides, and I think that we should make a perfect pesticide for the crops that is good for people and healthy and keeps the crops preserved, too, because we need the food, because it's food and stuff, and organic food is good also.
She has a huge rack, by the way.
And the businesses downtown really need to lower their rent, because if the rent was lowered, those people would really have their own businesses.
If the rent was lower, these people would really have. This, by the way, is fiscal year 2009 Cooperative Retail Management Business Real Property Improvement District Assessment Meeting.
They have enough stuff. They're very good at making things. They're like experts. They're really good. And we can really be a community and make the things and sell them in our stores. And I really believe that it can be a California thing, that it can really work out, because we can be rich in cotton and mining metals and silkworms, and we can make things. We can make things, cars, the machine.
Can make things, cars.
Gene can make it for us. And we can have the community and the city in San Francisco, and we can make things and put them in the stores. On the East Coast, they have slaves, and they believe in slavery and made in China, but...
What? What is this? On the East Coast, they have slaves?
Yeah, and they
believe
in China.
And they believe in slavery?
On the West Coast, the New West Coast, we don't believe in that. We believe in the Union, and that's what we are.
All right, so the best part is at the very end. Where someone actually applauds her.
Thank you.
That speaker, her boyfriend. Now this woman.
She's a total nut job.
I wonder.
You know what? We need to kill 5 billion people. Let's start in Santa Cruz. It's a good start.
Santa Cruz is notorious for people like this.
Really? That's kind of discriminatory of you to say that.
Santa Cruz has got a lot of these kinds of people. They move there, and they're especially in the hills. And at one point, Santa Cruz was like the murder capital of the state.
Good.
Because it was always going on in the hills. God knows what these people are up to.
Good.
But I don't know. It's just like when you watch that, you go, this is beyond a failure of the educational system.
This is actually a PSA for homeschooling, dude. That's what this is. All right, so I just can't resist. The World Health Organization determined in 2005 it has the authority to dissolve sovereign governments and take control should there be a pandemic. This goes back to what your wife apparently discovered, even though I've mentioned it several times to you, that the United States is one of the 194 nations who have signed the treaty and are a part of the constitution of the World Health Organization. And yes, these rules apply to any country signed on to the WHO, which of course is the U.S. From the WHO 2005 declaration, and I quote, under special pandemic plans enacted around the world, including the USA in 2005, national governments are to be dissolved in the event of a pandemic emergency and replaced by special crisis committees, which take charge of the health and security infrastructure of a country and which are answerable to the World Health Organization and the European Union in Europe and to the United Nations in North America. So the question, of course, is, will we actually do that? Because we're now at threat level 6.
Of course not.
Well, that's what you say. They're already, you know, there was a report that they're setting up the, quote, shadow government when everyone in Washington has to be sent off to the hills. Then there's like...
20- well, Obama, I guess, is, you know the story last week. Obama's apparently somebody hacked into one of the computers and discovered...
Oops, hold on, John. What's happening here? Hold on.
Okay.
Why is this happening? Stop!
I think it's official. I'm in love with
Summer.
I think we should stop seeing each other.
I don't know what that was. I'm sorry.
What was that?
I don't know. Something kept playing. I can't find the web page that it's playing on.
Oh, you had a web page open.
Yeah.
So, Obama's some machine. I lost the details, but Obama's one of the White House computers. Something got cracked, and they found Obama's secret hiding place for him and his family.
Where is it? Isn't it next door? Isn't it?
In a hole somewhere.
No, I thought it was next door where all the guests stay. Isn't there a bunker underneath that thing?
I don't know. I didn't follow up. I didn't care. Then this World Health Organization thing is nothing's going to come of it.
Well, I don't know.
We got guns.
Yeah. Well, meanwhile, as he tries to stretch the time between clicking the link and the actual article coming up, demand for body bags has grown.
Now there's an investment that we've missed.
Yes, well, we can still get in. It's a very small Toronto custom bag manufacturer, the Trevor Owen Limited Company. Recently, they've been shipping thousands of thick plastic bags sewn in its Scarborough factory and touted for their ability to, quote, prevent leakage and seepage of bodily fluids. Some seniors' residences are even buying 5, 10, or 15 at a time, and even in different colors. You can get it customized. You can get it monogrammed.
Like, that's so important.
You can get it monogrammed. Well, I think this is still a very good investment. John, I think we should look at jumping on that train. I think this is something.
It might be nice. I wonder what they look like hanging on the wall as art.
Okay.
Be kind of cool.
And we can't do a show without talking about our favorite company. Oh, shit. See, now.
You lost it. You blew it.
Well, this is because my controller is broken. Let's just pretend, I'll fix that in post. It'll sound really good. Monsanto. The most complex genetically engineered corn has been approved for use next year in Canada and the United States.
Approved. Unbelievable.
Approved. Without its potential health and environmental risk being investigated, neither U.S. nor Canadian health officials have assessed the human health safety of Monsanto and Dow AgroScience's new SmartStax. This is the brand name, SmartStax. It has 8 novel genes inserted into its DNA. This is according to the Canadian Biotechnology Action Network, which are, I'm sure, are a bunch of radicals. But they haven't really tested it.
Oh, why bother?
And this is so they already have our wheat, they've got our corn, and this SmartStax is going to be in everything. According to who owns Dow AgroSciences? Is that Dow Chemical?
It has to be it? Dow Chemical. And by the way, people should go to noagendachat.com.
What's going on? Are they talking about
nothing, it? No. Just some guy said to do that. I forgot to. We always forget to mention stuff.
This is a key early step in our commitment to helping farmers sustainably double yields by 2030 to meet the increasing demands for grain for food, feed, and fuel, said Rob Fraley, Monsanto Chief Technology Officer and Executive Vice President. Next year's product launch would represent the largest introduction of a COM biotech seed product in the history of agriculture, the company claims. Up to 1.6 million hectares could be planted with SmartStax seed in Canada and the U.S. by 2010. It's all over, John.
We have to eat this stuff?
Yeah, yes, we do, sir. Yes, we do. So it's very simple. First, they get rid of all the farmers, make sure their crops fail with the Terminator seeds, and they come in with their SmartStax. It's real simple.
We have to follow this story more closely.
SmartStax. I set up a Google alert for it. It's a good idea.
How do you spell it?
SmartStax with an X.
Huh. Sounds like a record company.
It does. Stax Records. I wanted to make a note, and I think we're going to put this up on noagenda.squarespace.com. One of our producers, Robert Shepard, has now officially become the innkeeper of the show. He is the new owner and operator of the Monarch Motel in Sheboygan, Michigan.
Sheboygan.
Wait, conveniently, this is another one for one of your columns, John. Sheboygan, Michigan. Conveniently located about 15 minutes from the Mackinac Bridge, connecting the two peninsulas of the state together. And for all No Agenda listeners, should you find yourself in Sheboygan, for as long as he is owner of this motel, John, you and I get 100% free stay in a room of our choosing with vibrating bed. But if you show up as a no agenda listener and say, I have no agenda, now where's my friggin' discount or something like that, you get an instant $15 off each night of your stay. They have 10 megabit internet connection with 802.11n/ng wireless networks, as well as an iTunes server sharing out podcasts to anyone who wishes to listen. Of course, no agenda is on the server. Go to monarchmotel.com.
All right. Hey, we actually should have more people doing that kind of thing.
And, absolutely.
You know, by the way, that bridge is gorgeous.
It's on the list. It's on the checklist. But I think that's great. You know, it's 15% discount. I think we should get a little more, really.
Yeah, he should up it to 20.
Up it a little bit.
I'm sorry. So let's talk about. So we have some contributors this week I want to talk about, but I want to preface it with a story that came out in Salon
magazine. Yeah, I know exactly what you're going to talk about.
About the media. A link to this. Of course, and now I don't have it anymore my page.
I have it up.
You have it up?
Yeah, of course. Only you want the link. It's a fantastic story. It's about the ongoing war between Glenn Beck and
Bill O'Reilly.
Yeah,
and apparently the two guys have been going at each other, but it's been hurting somebody's business.
Yeah, whose business could it be hurting? Let me see. Who owns what in these mainstream media outlets?
So it looks as if, apparently it was bugging the guy because O'Reilly started going off on the CEO of General Electric, Jeffrey Immelt. Let me read a little quote.
He was even giving out his email address, wasn't he?
Mr. O'Reilly continued to pour pressure on corporate leaders, even saying on one program that last year that if my child were killed in Iraq, I would blame the likes of Jeffrey Immelt. The resulting email to GE from Mr. O'Reilly's viewers was scathing. Over time, GE and the News Corporation concluded that the fighting wasn't good for either parent, said an NBC employee with direct knowledge of the situation.
Notice the analogy, by the way, of parents and children in that entire article. Fighting yes. Children and parents.
So they had a deal, apparently, between Immelt and Murdoch, and it says, and then he goes into that's a quote from another article, and then he goes on and says, though Olbermann denies he was part of any deal, the NYT, New York Times, says that there has been virtually no criticism of Fox by Olbermann or MSNBC by O'Reilly since June 1st when the deal took effect. Apparently, there was a couple of little things that did crop up, but now it seems as though because of pressure from their, the corporate sponsors of these shows.
Well, so this is exactly what we've talked about. I don't think it's just the corporate sponsors of the shows, although that may have a lot to do with it. But of course, General Electric is responsible for making a lot of the war material that is being used right now. And when you directly relate the president of the network or of the company GE, and you personalize it. Well, of course, there are people dying at the hands of shit made by General Electric. So that is something they really don't want out there. And as we've discussed, there's very little reporting from any reporters on any of those links. And, when we look at how stupid stories show up on NBC or MSNBC or CNBC and how it relates up to to the parent company, GE, no one's going to report on that shit because of exactly this. At the top, people are going to come down and say, shut up. Shut up or you'll never work again. That's basically it. O'Reilly's
right.
Not
generally,
stupid.
Now you have to know that most people out there should know and understand that this is rare. Most of the time, you self-censor,
exactly,
which is actually worse. And I'll tell you why. Because self-censoring tends to do more censoring than is necessary. You actually go overboard when you self-censor, big media companies, when they figured this out, they realized they didn't have to ever say anything because there's nothing worse than telling somebody not to do something and then they get fired or they quit. And then a couple years later, they come out and say, yeah, he told me not to do that and blah, blah, blah. And it makes you look bad. But self-censoring is when, you actually say you really don't. And that's why you never see, for example, any stories on any of the networks about anything about Disney, for example, about Disney's hiring practices at its parks, or about that crazy, you're not an employee, you're an actor.
Yeah, you're a cast member.
Cast member.
So you don't get any health benefits.
You don't get a lot. You don't get the right pay. I mean, everything is crummy about it. But nobody would ever report on that because, it's like a club. You got ABC News and NBC News and CBS News, and they're all owned by large, giant corporations. Of course, NBC being owned by General Electric. And so you're never going to see these guys, attack each other because, if somebody attacked Disney, ABC could just go mad dog on something the other guys are doing. And so there's a gentleman's agreement. We're not going to discuss this stuff, okay? And so this O'Reilly thing with
O'Reilly got a little bit too close. I think O'Reilly went a bit too far. Because he is brash. He's got a big mouth, and he literally overstepped his boundary. And they said, "Okay, dude, now it's ending right now. Stop this shit."
And O'Reilly gets paid millions.
I wonder how much
he makes. More of an entertainer than anybody.
I wonder. I really do. I wonder how much money he makes. I think these guys are getting paid a lot less than you and I believe.
I don't think so. O'Reilly's, I think, number one in cable.
Do you know what his audience size is? We should look that up. I bet it's smaller than you think.
It might be, but I know that a couple of people that have been on, I know a few that I'm pretty sure they make $1 million a year, and this guy's got to make more than that.
So, John, you write for CBS Market Watch. Do you find yourself self-censoring?
Dow Jones Market Watch.
I'm sorry. It's been sold. I didn't know. Dow Jones is a part of Dow Chemical?
Dow Jones is a part of Dow Jones, Wall Street Journal.
It can't be a coincidence that it's called Dow, okay?
Yeah, well,
But answer the question.
Yeah, I self-censor. Of course I do. What am I going to do? I see something running, like, for example, in my own publication that I think is like crap. I'm going to say, well, I think the editors are idiots for running this. I'm not going to do that. What do you think? I'm crazy?
Now, what else does Dow Jones own?
They own now they don't own anything because Murdoch owns them.
Okay, so would you?
So I'm actually working for Murdoch. I'm part of the News Corporation. So I'm not going to write a scathing thing talking about Murdoch, or Fox News being a bunch of whatever. I actually like Fox News. So what can I say? I like Murdoch. He's a great guy.
Okay, enough said. Oh God. Well, anyway, on this show, you don't appear to be self-censoring, and that's highly appreciated.
Well, that's because.
No one listens.
No, that's because we are actually
we're not commercial. Let's put it that way.
We're paid for by our producers and sponsors and the people who graciously contribute. And I want to mention a few today. And by the way, we thank everybody who's contributed in the past. And I want to encourage people to continue this because this will help us get to our third show, which is really what you want us to do. I also want to thank a bunch of people, like some people that are doing some free work for us. Bubba Ray Martin, for example, the No Agenda archivist. I've got a new guy that's going to do custom icons for us. Michael Kingery is a really talented artist. It's amazing. There's an applications programmer, Colin Nickerson, out there that I might get some work out of him.
He's going to make the application that says all of your computer files belong to us when you access the site. That's cool.
That would be good. Yeah. So, but we got some good contributions. A lot of them came in late, though, and it kind of screwed me up a little bit. But let's go over a few guys who gave us some money. Paul Vella gave us $66.
I wonder what that means, huh?
Yeah. He's in Towcester.
Isn't he the guy that said I'm sorry.
I'm just going to say most of the people that gave us money are Americans this week. We got, except for one last minute one that just came in before we started today's show, nobody was in Europe or Australia.
Really? Well, we had a good run with the Scandinavians, with the Australians. So now it's about time the U.S. picked up.
So we got John Matthews and Father Ralph, of course, in Chicago, and John Matthews in Parts Unknown are part of the they're going for the night
The layaway program.
Layaway plan.
Ah, great, great, thanks. And this is the Reverend.
Yeah, he's a priest.
A priest. Oh,
in Chicago. If we go to Chicago, we have to have a beer with him. He insists.
A beer drinking priest. I love it.
We have Guillaume Pettit.
Yes.
Guillaume Pettit, P-E-T-I-T or Petit. He's in Chambly, Quebec. That's the only Canadian we got anything from, but the rest of it's all Americans. Max Lakritz, or Lakritz, who generously gave us $250, and he's in Seattle.
Wow. Thank you so much. That's awesome.
Eric Peterson, $68.31 in Glendale, Arizona. We have to obviously figure out what that means.
$68.31?
Yeah. Hmm. Don't know.
No, I don't know either.
BB Computers, Parts Unknown, $50. John Atwood, $50 in Cotter, Arkansas. Mark Workman, another generous person from Dayton, Ohio, $100. I figure this is the last $100 in Dayton, Ohio.
Oh,
and
shit.
Mark Workman gave it to us.
Thank you, all of Dayton, for that. And we really appreciate that.
DUI-help.com gave us $50, parts unknown. Larry Baldwin gave us $52, and he's in Buena Park, which is interesting because we have a couple of nights, one of them being in Santa Ana. I'll get to them at the end. Then we had some latecomers. Peter Shmilikov, who is, or Shmilikov, 5744, and he's in Galloway, Ohio, another Ohio person giving money that they probably can't afford to give. And he said that we have to guess the 5744. We'll have to work on that. Unless you can do it while I'm going through these names.
No,
Matthew Bellamar in Wolcott, Connecticut. Again, Americans, $50. And then we have Paul. I got Paul Vela. Did I get Paul? Yeah, 66.
Yeah, you got him, yeah.
Okay, here's one. The only one from Europe that came and just came in. Francois Proulx. And that's spelled P-R-O-U-L-X, and it's pronounced Proulx.
Proulx. And he's from where?
He's from Paris, France.
Hey, Paris, finally. Good.
So that's the first person from Paris that's ever given us a cent. $73.31.
You know that's got to be. We can't. I think they should just tell us what the codes are because we never follow up on it and I can't remember it.
Well, they're going to have to send us an email. Francois will have to send us an email.
It's highly appreciated, though, obviously.
$73.31. It's a good one.
That's fantastic.
And then we have two knights.
What? We have two new knights?
Scott Rodriguez, who we mentioned on Thursday, $1,000, and he's in Santa Ana, which is interesting because Larry Baldwin's in Buena Park, so they should get together for a beer.
Yeah.
And then just coming in is Margaret George of Clovis, New Mexico.
Wow.
Now, unless they've transposed the name on PayPal and it's really George Margaret.
This is not only is it a new night, but it's a new female listener to the show.
Yeah, that makes five.
Wow, Margaret.
Not including my wife.
Thank you so much. That's awesome. We should do, what are you going to do for these nights, John? I think we should do something special.
We're going to get them some. I'm going to have to get to work on the night thing so we get some.
Would you please? I mean, could you really please do it? I mean, you know what? Don't come to the meeting on Wednesday. And instead of that, instead of that, why don't you work on some of the premiums for the nights, man? That'll be much cooler.
Well, somebody just came up with a 5441. I wish they would hit it again because I lost their Skype message. 54, what was it again?
5743.
5744. Anyway, so the two nights we're dealing with here is Margaret George, Clovis, New Mexico. So thanks a million.
Yeah, thank you so
and
much.
And Scott Rodriguez in Santa Ana, who should go have a beer with Larry Baldwin, who's down the street.
Now there are many. Are you done with the list?
Yeah, that's the list. I mean, it's a good list. It's not as many as usual in terms of the 50s and 100s, but the big donors, Max and the rest of them. Piconi, tell me what the 50 what it means instead of teasing me.
Now there are a lot of people who send us. Well, of course, we don't just call them people or listeners; they're producers, and they send us all kinds of information. And usually, people say, "Hey, look, man, I'm trying to lower my debt. My wife and I are really working hard. We can't send you any money. As soon as I can, we will." That's fantastic. That's fine. I do have a couple of job openings for people who are out of work and looking for. Because I was looking myself, just as kind of like a plan B, and I figured it wouldn't be bad. I could, for $97,000 a year, I can become an unmanned aerial vehicle pilot. Because there are a lot of jobs with the reserves and the U.S. Army, And the one that caught my eye, which wouldn't be bad to have a couple of No Agenda listeners in that position, is the internment resettlement specialist.
Where'd you find that one?
On the Army site. And the best part is the description of the job, which are in the show notes, of course. One of the advanced responsibilities will be to provide command and control, staff planning, administration, logistical services, and custody control for the operation of an enemy prisoner of war / civilian internee camp. Now, if you're in the reserves, you will probably be working in the United States, and you will be running a civilian internee camp. Gee, isn't that interesting?
That is interesting. Somebody should get that job.
The quote from Wikipedia, civilian internees are civilians who are detained by a party to a war for security reasons. So that would be the FEMA camps that we've been seeing all over the country. And you could be there. You could be running it, making $37,000 a year. Not
a
bad gig.
Kind of low pay. Well, anyway, I want to remind everybody, go to dvorak.org/NA to help us out. We need some more nights. That would be nice. Also,
we're working on that. We're working on our first dinner. We have a lot of people who are interested.
Noagenda.squarespace.com. And we will have a link to a mailing list that you can put yourself on if you want to go to one of these dinners. We want to do the first one in Las Vegas, which would be centrally located. It's a timing thing. So if you put yourself on the list and we'll, try to make it so everyone can do it. I mean, we were unfortunately an international show with listeners all over the world, and they're not like, except for the fact that we have two down in Santa Ana area, they're not centrally located. I mean, so it makes it a little rough.
Well, it'll be the first stop on our world tour, John. It's just the beginning.
So that's dvorak.org/NA. We really appreciate all your help.
Go ahead.
Especially this week. And I would just want to remind everybody to keep donating, especially those guilt-ridden ones out there who have been listening to the show since the beginning and are reluctant to help us.
Coming to you from the minimum containment cell under threat of eminent domain demolishment in Gitmo Nation, West San Francisco, California, I'm Adam Curry.
And 5744 refers to Adam and I's ages, apparently. Official ages, I would say. I'm John C. Dvorak. See you again next week.
That's right. Thursday, right here, same time, kind of, same place, for No Agenda.